Coming up on Total Access, The Locker Room.
My dad invented the defensive techniques. Two technique, three technique.
Whoa.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
I didn't know that.
We had a strike, and so we didn't play the first four games. So he had 21 sacks in 12 games.
Wow.
To me, that's a Babe Ruth record.
Welcome to NFL Total Access, The Locker Room. I'm Michael Robinson alongside Super Bowl winning head coach Brian Billick. Coach, what's up?
Hey, let's go. I'm looking forward to today.
Yes, me too. We're going to let you guys in on what players and coaches really talk about inside the locker room. One episode was not enough. We had to bring Son of Bum back and coach. I mean, all the great players that this guy has coached. I mean, from DeMarcus Ware to Reggie White, you guys are going to hear some great stories about great players.
And to go back to recognizing, I didn't know that his father's the one that invented the numbering of techniques.
Oh, man.
And of course, Wade is the guy that invented the numbering system we use now in terms of personnel, 11, 21, 12 personnel. It's going to be great to hear about how he began that.
Welcome back, an NFL defensive mastermind. I mean, again, I always say I'm a fan of this guy, and he always will make a call, coach, that late in the play call, the defensive tackle will slide down, and I have to block DeMarcus Ware. Wade, Coach Wade Phillips, Coach, welcome to the Total Access Podcast. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Yeah, good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So we need a locker room story from the great Coach Wade Phillips.
Well, when my dad was coaching in high school, coaches work all the time. Yeah. And one of the coaches got a phone call at work, you know. It was his wife, and she's crying. She's crying on the phone and said, "You're gone all the time. You're never home. You know, the kids don't see you." You know, and she's crying, and she said, "You love football more than you do me." And he paused for a minute, and then he said, "Yeah, but I love you more than basketball."
That's classic.
Yeah.
I got to use that one.
Well, the classic one with the coaches is when we've all worked for guys that just grind and grind and grind.
Oh, yeah.
And at some point, you get to the head coach, and one guy looked at the head coach and said, "Coach, my wife's going to be made love to in about 20 minutes, and I'd really like to be there. So can we cut this meeting off?" Well, Coach, I want to take a personal point of privilege here, because you I know you don't remember the first time we met. We have a great mutual friend in John Levra.
Yep.
And I was a young coach at Utah State, offensive coordinator, and John invited me down to the San Angelo Clinic.
Oh, yeah.
Now, for those who don't know, one of the great coaching clinics, I don't know, do they still do it? Do they still have the coaching clinic in San Angelo?
Oh, yeah. No, the pandemic.
Right, this year.
But they have it every year, yeah.
I mean, this is like 2,000-3,000 coaches. They bring in the top. If you led the league or college football in something, you were at the San Angelo Clinic lecturing. So I'm just like a kid in a candy store, and I'm doing so. Coach Levra, and I'm too poor, I can't even afford a room. So Coach Levra lets me sleep on the floor in his hotel room. But he invites me to that midnight. I don't know if they still do it. Remember the midnight sessions where you get a keg of beer and Wade Phillips and some other coach, and it's just drinking beer and it's dog cussing one another and MF and run. No, you can't do that. Just talk a little bit about some of those midnight sessions.
Wow.
Oh yeah. We started having the midnight, and it was really like you say, it was college. We were coaching in college, and you have like 2,000, 3,000 people there. A lot of them are high school coaches, and you have college coaches there. Well, anyway, the college coaches kind of wanted to see what was going on with each other. So, we'd listen to the lectures back and forth. But then to get together, we said, "Hey, okay, let's meet at midnight and we'll talk football." And so it was a chalk talk or a coaching, a thing where anybody could talk. And we'd ask, Utah State, "What are you guys doing?" Or Oklahoma, "What are you guys doing?" So it was fun to do. Now, as we got older, I accused the other guys.
They moved stealing your stuff.
They moved the midnight session to 10 o'clock.
But started the beer earlier.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the other thing is, I don't think people appreciate, because now it's so replete. Everybody uses it. We use it on the network all the time. When we refer to personnel, 21 personnel, 11 personnel, where you invented that. You came up with the numbering. Talk about how you came up, first, the need for it, and how you came up with this idea of numbering the personnel group so it was more readily understandable who's in the game.
Yeah, we I've been in the league so long that, you know, way back we just had, you know, a regular two backs and a tight end and two wide receivers. But as that started changing, you know, we did everything by formation, defensively I'm talking about. We did everything by formation, you know, tendency-wise, okay? But what they started doing was getting in the same formation but having different personnel. For instance, 12 personnel and 11 personnel, they might be in the same formation, but 12 personnel, they were running a lot more. And 11 personnel, they were throwing a lot more. Now, we didn't call it that at that time. And so we had to come up with something to say, hey, this personnel group is what dictates what they can do, not the formations, because you can line up with a high formation, for instance, and put a wide receiver at tailback. Well, that's a lot different than what a regular I formation. So, we just had a need for that. And we came up with that when I was with New Orleans in 1980. We started doing that, and it caught on. Actually, when I went to Philadelphia with Buddy Ryan, we did it. And then Jeff Fisher was the secondary coach, and he picked it up, and it just kind of went from there. I think it's word of mouth.
Everybody uses it.
And then Dan Reeves, when I coached with him, he liked it. He called everything, you know, kings and queens and so forth.
Right.
But he liked it, so he utilized it on offense. And I think most people know about it.
Oh, you know, yeah. I mean,
It also came from, you know, my dad invented the defensive techniques. Two technique, three technique.
Whoa.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
He invented that in high school when he was coaching. And when he went to Texas A&M, Bear Bryant was there. And Bryant liked it, and he started using it. When Bryant went to Alabama, then it caught on there because they were winning national championships. Wow. And so that's how the techniques on defense came
up. Hold up, coach. You can't gloss over that like that's just some old, oh, yeah, he just invented the techniques. Dude, that's the foundation of everything I know about football, right?
There you
like,
go. Well,
I mean, how did he come up with that? What was the thought of, okay, let's call this a zero or a one, or was it just a way to communicate?
He wanted to be able to high school kids, he wanted to be able to, to be able to line them up where they knew where their alignment and their assignment was. And you could call multiple defenses. You call 25, call 15, call 30, 35, 37, 27.
Yep.
Or you could call 27, 37 with two and a seven on one side. Or 25, 37, all kinds of combinations.
Huh.
And so you could teach the kids where to line up and what technique they were going to play quickly, rather than call everything again by some name that you come up with, because then they got to memorize.
What does that mean? And wow.
It says what does it mean? That's what you're exactly doing. So he came up with that. Of course, that helped me a little bit, I think, to be able to come up with some kind of numbers for the personnel groups.
Yeah, I mean, that's fascinating. I mean, guys, like I probably got a little bit more gray hair right now. I've learned some stuff right now. But coach, something fascinating you were talking about. You said initially you guys used to defend or identify offenses by how they lined up by formation, and then it switched to personnel. But, you know, I played offense, and you guys did some of the same stuff, man. Your defensive, you know, defenses have defensive linemen walking around, all of these types of things. You've had, and you're known for putting your players in the best possible situations so that they can utilize their strengths, right? I mean, you've had.
Well, that's what you hope, and that's what they say. But, you know, I had Reggie White, and you could put him about anywhere, you know.
What about quarterback?
When I had Bruce Smith, I mean, you could put him anywhere. So, you know, J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, all those guys I've had. I mean, I'm not sure you can put them anywhere, and they've been great players. So they were already great. But you do try to utilize their talent. And they do it on offense all the time. I mean, you got the best running back, you give him the ball, you know. I mean, you got a great running back. Well, defensively, you got a great rusher, then he needs to be rushing. He doesn't need to be dropping in coverage very much. So it's all based on what the players can do.
Is it one of these, to utilize
their talent.
Is it one of these guys that stood out more than others? I mean, I love the fact that you talk about the players, and to me, that's what makes you a great coach. You know, Coach Billick does the same thing all the time. He always talks about the players that he coached. He doesn't put it on himself. These guys that you've coached, I mean, you've coached with some Hall of Famers. I mean, you've coached some Hall of Famers. Anybody stand out?
Well, all of them stood out. I think, and I know Brian will say the same thing. The great ones I've had were all great people. They all thought they could be better than they were. They all tried to be better. I mean, they didn't say, hey, I'm the best player in the league. They were always trying to get better, and they utilized their talent. And I had some other guys that had similar talents that didn't live up to it. So, you know, they were all really great people. They always asked me who was the best, you know, and, you know, I've had guys with over 20 sacks and things like that. And Reggie White actually had the best year of any player I've ever had. Strahan broke the record, you know, and had 22 sacks. We know that. Okay, Reggie held the record with 21. But that was in 1987 when I was coaching him in Philadelphia. And we had a strike, and so we didn't play the first four games. So he had 21 sacks in 12 games.
Wow.
To me, that's a Babe Ruth record. I mean, that's
– Right. You got to put that asterisk there.
You know, and that record held for a long time. Yeah, he in 1987, he was fantastic. I mean, you can't. Now, we moved him from defensive tackle because we wanted to put him out on the edge, and it made a big difference. But he was a great player no matter what.
It's not fair to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I know, you know, I've got daughters as well. It's like asking you, which of your daughters is the prettiest. But you've coached some great defenses. Record-setting defense. Is there one of your defenses in a given year when you sit down and you reminisce, you really, okay, this one was really, maybe it's just because they overachieved or some of the thing, but is there one of your years in defense that you really go, boy, this group really did something special?
You know, I don't know. I'm sure you'd answer the same way. I mean, when I was with the Saints, when I first started out as a coordinator, I was with the Saints. They had bags on their heads, you know.
Yeah.
We ended out number one in the NFL in defense in a dome stadium in a pass defense. You know, that was a great group. We played mostly zone. We played two deep zone then, and nobody was playing match zone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in Buffalo, we were number one. I mean, and it's about wins too, I guess.
Right.
When I went to the Texans, they were 30th in the NFL in defense, and we went to second the first year. Now, that I don't know that anybody's done much better than that. So, you know, kind of now J.J. Watt, we drafted J.J. Watt, and that helps.
That helps.
Yeah. And we had some good players, but just like you said, I mean, it's the players. But
that's a mentality, too. How do you sell that?
This team right here, back here, they led the league in 19 categories. So it's hard to say that they weren't really good, you know.
Right.
You know, the Broncos with DeMarcus and Vaughn and you know, Akib and Harris and all those guys, no fly zone, they call themselves.
Yeah, I remember.
They led the league at least yards passing and least yards per play and on and on. And then to beat the quarterbacks, you know, to beat Roethlisberger, And then to beat Tom Brady, we've heard of him, and then to beat Cam, who was the MVP, and they were averaging 40 points a game, and we gave up 10, and we scored one on defense, almost scored two, so in that Super Bowl. So that team, but all of them, I'm proud of. You know, I think.
And that leads me to
we gave up 13 points to Tom Brady 2 years ago. So
yeah,
we lost, but you know, so. What? I mean, that was a pretty valiant effort.
You can't score points, Coach. I can say it. I know you won't say it, but you can't score points either. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'll shut up. Let me shut
you,
up.
you've been a part and seen this evolution, and I'm asking this question by way of the defenses today. And we just saw a brilliant defensive performance by Tampa Bay and Todd Bowles compared to back when you and I were doing it a long time ago. And there was obviously great quarterback play, but I don't know that we were as deep in good quarterback play as we are now. Defenses have to face so much more by way of every week, particularly in the playoffs. You look at that Tampa Bay, they had to go through Drew Brees, then Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, who's, seems to be at that level. Yeah, talk a little bit about where we are now in terms of defensive football. All the rules are geared towards the offense, and we got so much great quarterback play in the league right now. It's hard being a good defense.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, the offenses certainly have the rules advantages, which is fine. But, more and more quarterbacks, I mean, they're just playing 7-on-7 now in high school, and everybody's throwing the ball, and you're finding more quarterbacks. That's what I believe. There's just more guys throwing the ball, and that's what you're looking for in the quarterback. He's got to be able to throw it. So we're seeing a lot more of that. But now we faced Marino twice a year when I was at Buffalo, and we played him in a playoff game, and he threw it 66 times. So, so that's pretty scary, I'm going to tell you. We beat him pretty good in a playoff game, but once you face the great ones, and the Joe Montanas and people like that, it's still pretty humbling.
Well, Coach, and I want to stay in that vein just a little bit. Like, what may be the next evolution for defenses? Because, we've seen, especially the second-level linebackers get smaller. I mean, you just saw Levante David and Devin White. Those guys are barely over 235 pounds running all over the place based off the nature of the offenses that they're facing. And I personally play fullback. I think, eventually just lining up in the eye and just
dying breed.
Eventually that's going to come back. Eventually the physicality of offense will come back. How do you think the evolution of defense is going to continue to evolve?
Well, defense is really play recognition, And so the more they see it, they'll start catching up some, and then, and that's why, I've seen it all. We've seen it all. We see wishbone and, they couldn't stop that. And, run and shoot. The people went through the run and shoot deal, and they got all their quarterbacks killed. And so, and nowadays, the quarterbacks obviously are running more. But, Dak went out. They had a quarterback draw. Jackson went out, got banged up in the game. In the playoffs, the more you run them, and really Cam's gone down since his being able to run as much as he did. So I still think it's tough on quarterbacks to be able to, the new breed is certainly being able to run with the ball too. But I'm not big on designed running plays, I think Aaron Rodgers, he'd run around and throw it, or Mahomes, but designed running plays, I think the better quarterbacks you get, you might not hold on to them if they run it too much.
And Mike alluded to it, because we've already gone through the litany of great players you've had on your defenses, and you had something to do with those players. Like you said, you had the wisdom in the eye to say, let's draft J.J. Watt and identify these players. But now, would you, in the players that you're identifying to play your defense, has it altered? Are you looking for that faster guy? Maybe in the back end, I'm talking about linebacker level, maybe a little bit different even on the defensive line, or would you still stay with, no, this is what a good defensive end is. This is what a good defense. And here's what I need my inside linebacker to do.
I've really gone on good players. Now you can't have too many exceptions, You want a big, fast. You want bigger, faster, stronger players. That's what everybody wants. But it's what they, again, it's what they can do. If you've got a big, strong guy that's not very fast, it's an inside backer. You got to put him in a place where he's, playing more physical. Wherever that is. So, but it's changed. Yeah, you know the speed has always been important, and defensive speed, certainly the way to catch up with offensive speed is have some more speed on defense. So they're going to linebackers. We got, you got secondary guys that can run, but we hadn't had as many line inside backers, and now they got to be a little bit smaller, you know, like you say, but it seems to be working.
You said you're ready to retire from retirement.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Coach? Because that, to me, you know, a fan of yours.
You still got that itch.
Like, it seems like you still got that itch to go out there and play awesome defense.
Yeah, I just, you know, actually the last 5 years have been close to my best years that I've had coaching-wise. You know, I went to 2 Super Bowls. We won we won 59 games, I think, in the last 5 years that I've been with, and 2 Super Bowls, and we've been pretty good on defense. So I just felt like I could help somewhere, but it doesn't look like it. I mean, you know, it's first of all, who you know that's coaching, and you know, maybe I don't know everybody.
All the guys we know are yeah. either in a rest home or dead. I mean, we got to face that.
I'll agree with that.
Man, BA just won a Super Bowl, man.
I know. There's an inspiration for you.
Yeah, and you know, as an assistant coach, which I am, I mean, I'm a defensive coach. Well, then you've been hired by somebody, a head coach. And most of the head coaches are real young these days, that I don't have, you know, personal relationships with, I guess. But you know, I feel you always feel like you're going to go on your record, but that isn't always the case. You know, I mean, so.
Coach Wade, was that difficult for you, man? Look, I'm 38 years old right now, okay? What if I was the head coach of a football team, all right, and I wanted to bring you on as my defensive coordinator? You have more years of experience in the National Football League than I've been alive on this planet. Like, what's that dynamic like? I mean, I got to think that, you know, obviously you know your role, but you got a hell of a lot more experience than me. You know what I mean? Like, how was that?
Remember his classic line when he worked for Sean McVay. He said they're coordinators in Medicare and the head coaches in daycare.
Exactly.
That was classic. Like,
how was that working for Sean McVay?
Oh, it was great. You know, I mean, again, we won 35 games in 3 years and went to the Super Bowl and played pretty good in the Super Bowl. So,
yeah.
And he's a really great coach. So I enjoyed that. But, you know, it isn't forever, you know, so we know that.
But you went to a Super Bowl.
You know, if you love it as much as we do, I think you want to keep doing it, but somebody's got to want you to keep doing it. So, you know, I say now that, you know, I'd be a pretty good senior assistant. You know, they have a senior assistant because I definitely qualify the senior part. I don't know about the assistant coach. The senior part.
I've reverted to this last offseason. I coached my grandson's third grade tackle football team.
There you go.
I was the defensive coordinator.
All right.
So I'm figuring, okay, I'm gonna revolutionize this youth. And I found out real quick. It was every day. It was okay. Where's your helmet?
All right.
Are your shoes tied? Okay. Are you on the right team, because I don't recognize you. You'll love this one, Wade. You're gonna love it.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to this young kid, and he's on my defense, and he goes, "Now, coach, you coached pro football, didn't you?" I go, "Yes, sir, I did." He goes, "You were the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens." I go, "I was." And you won a Super Bowl, right? I go, "Yes, sir, young man, I did." He goes, "That's amazing, because most of those guys are dead."
Oh,
I go, well, there's still a few of us plugging around here, so you gotta have some grandkids, don't you? You ought to jump in and coach them. You'd love it.
Yeah, I'm gonna find something to do. We'll see.
There you go.
But I'm gonna try this podcast stuff and see how that works out.
That'd be great. You need to do that.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be awesome, man. Get your voice out there. Get those stories out there, man. And it definitely. So before we let you go, if the right opportunity in the National Football League came around, would you take it?
Any opportunity, I'd take it.
That's an honest man.
That's a real coach right there. Hey, man, Coach, thank you for coming by the podcast this week, man. It was totally awesome having you. It was awesome to hear your stories. And, yeah, man, that'll do it for this week's episode of Total Access, The Locker Room. For more insight with The Locker Room Point of View, check out the latest episodes every Wednesday and Friday on Apple and Spotify.